and welcome to the 11th episode of my podcast, Where's the Support? At the end of June 2010, I had the chance to interview Susan Gapka, just before the G20 here in Toronto. Susan is a candidate for city councillor in Ward 27. She is dedicated to the issues of affordable housing, reducing homelessness, and LGBTQ equality rights. What follows is the interview that we had on her views of homelessness in Toronto and the G20. Thank you for listening. Hello, Susan, and thanks for joining me today and letting me interview you for my podcast. So maybe if we could just start off, if you could just introduce yourself to everyone and just tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Well, I'm a community organizer. I specialize in homelessness and social housing. One of the big projects I'm working on now, which I'm excited to share, is the At-Home Chez Soi project with the Mental Health Commission of Canada.
Okay.
And I have spent a number of years in post-secondary education studying public policy and administration and political science. Graduated with honors from George Mellon College in the Community Worker Program. And that education has really enhanced my ability to do some work in these areas. I was very involved in drug policy reform and helped found create the first Canadian Harm Reduction Conference. That was held in 2002, and it was right around that time that EGAL Canada recruited me to help them both establish a national trans issues committee, but also that was the time of same-sex marriage was, so I worked with the legal committee, and so that was really, I worked with some dynamic people, some legal people, and some political activists, met a lot of really good people, but then after that, I wanted to be more local. I ran for city council in 2006.
Right.
I've done a lot of work with the Rainbow Health Network since then, and chair the Trans Health Lobby Group. So I'd like to do political advocacy, but I like to do it in a context of, you know, being grounded in the experience of people and being grounded in the community. And so that's a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get a chance to say more as we go through.
For sure. That's great. So it sounds
Thank
like you've done a lot of work, and you've obviously seen a lot of changes and not so many changes happen within the city.
Well, as a trans woman, you know, it's only recently that my life has been, I came out about 1999, 2000. And so this is a new experience for me to be successful, to do well in school, and to be able to make positive change. And what I hope to do in the work is, you know, create the kind of opportunities that I've had for other people, younger people who are coming through, and I know coming through the system, because the system is really, really can be really difficult to navigate if you don't have like the supports in place or the mechanics to be able to do that.
Yeah,
so especially if you're struggling with your own identity, that can really compound the challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And maybe if you could also tell us a little bit about your knowledge and your interest around homelessness in Toronto.
Well, thank you for asking that. I did spend 10 years living physically on the streets of Toronto as part of my challenge of figuring out who I was.
Yeah.
And so that gives me keen insight into, let me share a little story with you. Sometimes, you know, you sit around like at work or at school and say, well, if I ran this place. Well, we used to sit around the shelters and say, when I was homeless, and sometimes I was usually in the shelter system rather than physically sleeping outside. It's just really cold in winter. I usually found something, but, you know, now that I look back on it, you know, I see, oh, I could have been doing better. But, you know, I had to go through that to be the person I am now. But, you know, we sit around, you know, if I ran this place, and oh, Lord knows, I'm here I am making recommendations on how to improve services. And so I think my experience is greatly enhanced. My work is greatly enhanced by having that personal experience.
Absolutely, yeah. And so what would you say, what do you think that Toronto needs to do differently with regards to the issues of homelessness?
Toronto has, the City of Toronto in the last mandate under this council has been incredibly progressive. They've made some compromises along the way because to appease, I think, or to negotiate a compromise between sort of, right of center or farther right of center and progressive values. Things like, I'm very skeptical about, I think the Streets to Homes is a good program, but it needs additional supports, and a lot of those supports do require federal and provincial funding for, and while the city has been, I think, moving forward to try to address the issues, we really need to work in partnership with our federal and provincial partners. Federally, we don't have a national housing strategy. That was dismantled in the 1990s under Paul Martin and the Liberal government. And we don't have a provincial long-term housing strategy. And in fact, the news just came out last week that they've deferred that until the spring. And I suspect people who delay these programs are not the ones actually sleeping on the streets, and otherwise they may want to speed up the process.
Exactly, that's a good point.
And so this is troubling that this keeps. It's not a political priority in some regards. But I think the City of Toronto, the street needs assessment is criticized, and the best line, I've participated in that and expanded their demographic information to include transsexual, transgender, and two-spirited people. In the first draft of that, they said, we observe their gender, and I just looked at the city policy, and you don't observe gender on a homeless person. So we were able to be leaders in that, actually,
Wow.
and create that space. Now, I don't know how well we're addressing the needs of people. And I'm not sure that I don't believe that approaching people on the street is the best way to assess the needs of people who may be LGBTQ. I know you want to ask questions about
Yeah.
that. Because that's all, sometimes we don't talk a lot to strangers about, who we are and our identity.
Yeah.
Some of us are, I'm able to do it a little bit more, but it took me a long, long time to be able to do that
Right.
comfortably. So there's got to be other ways to address those needs too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, as you know, there is no emergency crisis shelter specifically for LGBTQ youth who are homeless in Toronto. And do you think that Toronto would benefit from such a service?
I have mixed feelings about that. I mean, there was a time when we had a crisis with trans people about 10 years ago, being not able to use places like the Salvation Army,
Right.
and then we get into the shelter standards that were developed. And I thought it would be a good idea to have a specific shelter for trans people.
Yeah.
But I think on the other hand, we also got to do a lot of work about LGBTQ people being part of society, right? We have same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
There's some sort of comfort level. We're doing poorly on trans people, in my opinion. If you're using queer as like, or questioning as some sort of middle category, or depending how you define queer, or questioning, is that our system is greatly binary and gendered. Either you're male or female,
Yep.
so we can do. But I would hope that we could be part of society more than having to create specialized services. And then on the other hand, we have the Pink Triangle School.
Yeah.
We're talking about having special curriculum for on race and ethnicity. We've got a pilot project.
Yeah.
So there are instances where those kind of specific services can be really useful. And we know
Absolutely.
that in our community, like youth lines and programs, women's committees and caucuses, for example, where they do a great service for people in the community to meet others like them and to reduce the social isolation.
Yeah, definitely, and especially when when our youth's safety is at risk, and if they're being beaten up and whatnot, and discrimination. So yeah, I would think it would be
And
important.
as a young person myself, I did not ask for assistance until I had
Yeah.
spent those 10 years on the streets, and I had
Right.
come up with the conclusion, okay, I have to try something different. So
Yeah.
my own experience, there was no place to go when I was younger.
Yeah.
So my how things have changed.
Yeah,
But I'm
absolutely.
remembering we're in an urban center, right? And in some places in rural Ontario or even in northern Ontario, people probably can't even talk to their neighbors
Yeah.
about how they feel or who they are.
Yeah, exactly. And I also wanted to ask you, because I know you had mentioned to me earlier that you had a message that you wanted to share regarding the City of Toronto's non-discrimination policy and as well as the exclusion of gender identity in its shelter standards. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, well, I'd be delighted to. The non-discrimination policy in the City of Toronto, many people haven't heard of this policy until recently, and in the non-discrimination policy does protect all the protected codes. The City of Toronto has gender identity as a protected code. But in some cases, so it's been a topic of discussion and on a motion by a mayoral candidate, Giorgio Mammoliti, and by a city councillor, Kyle Ray, who happens to be my councillor, and he in the downtown area, a gay councillor, have sort of lobbied to have funding cut from Pride Toronto. For not obeying on a claim that they haven't adhered to the non-discrimination policy. And I find this really odd because trans people are not protected in the shelters. The shelter standards, I think, should be so much more stronger in that. And if shelters cannot accommodate trans people, there's mechanisms for training and education and referral to other centers. And this is almost 10 years old, and I think we need to really step up on ensuring that trans people can go to a shelter and be accommodated rather than being referred around or have to go to 519 or to a cert an age one of these programs that you're saying doesn't exist to be referred to a place. And so I guess just on the topic of being uncomfortable about certain language, I'm extremely uncomfortable about trans people not having access to services and being accommodated. And if they're not able to accommodate them, we've got to look at funding these organizations, whether we want to do that or not. We should give funding to organizations that are able to accommodate all of our citizens, not
Absolutely.
just some of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you feel like there's any work being done towards that, or?
There was some work done on it, and now it's been heightened with the public controversy, or if they were going to call it that. It certainly is a difficult situation for those involved and those of us in work in the community and who like to celebrate Pride and do it in a political nature or
Yeah.
not. And I think we need to review the shelter standards and really, if we really do want to help LGBT people, we need to make sure that people are accommodated. Both in education, in access to housing, and so if we're not protected in the shelters, where are we protected? And we're getting into things around safety and violence,
Yeah.
and even the social determinants of health that occur when you don't have a place to live. Everybody deserves a decent place to live.
Yeah, it's very well said.
Thank you.
I think it's appropriate with the G20 summit nearing, just days away. I think that it's appropriate maybe if we shift the conversation to discuss this a little bit more. And I'm just wondering how you think the G20 is affecting homelessness in Toronto.
Well, first of all, I want to imagine, let's just imagine for a minute, the $1 billion spent on security for the G20 that went into a national housing program. I think we could meet the needs much better. I'm not sure how much $1 billion funds, but I think it's a lot. I
I
think
think
it's a
so.
lot. And for me, the idea, I do want to draw a parallel because I think not only people are if young LGBT people are not in shell are not able to get housing or employment, they may be an unsafe. They're open and visible to the law and order agenda, and you don't need to look very far in Toronto over the next week of what a law and order gender not, law gender default what a law and order agenda looks like. And I think it's the wrong way to organize society. I think we need to treat people with respect, with dignity. And let's put some reason, some of the, and rather than, I mean, sure we need to be safe and protected, but just think we could, that shelter, the service you were talking about earlier for a crisis emergency shelter, You know, instead of building a fake lake for $2 million, let's build that service instead.
Absolutely.
I think it would, you know, I mean, let's feed hungry people, house homeless people, and protect our people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, everyone's asking everyone, how do you feel? You know, how's the G20 affecting you? You have to work from home. You have to do this, but no one's asking, what about homelessness? What about people who don't have a home? How are they being affected?
Well, there's a couple more practical examples I can share with you too. There have been some sweeps. Police may deny this. You know, for example, the marijuana calm was raided a couple months ago. This has happened in other parts. I mean, a lot of those places are raided. The charges never stick. But and so the government can say when the charges are dropped, says, "Oh, see, we need tougher law and order. We need to like, you know, we need tougher laws to deal with like medical marijuana of all things."
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, while marijuana may be a problem for some people, it's not something that we should be that we need to put our police priority. It's not a police priority in my mind.
Yeah.
There is a shelter in the G20 perimeter, and in the building, I live in a women's building, just right on Church Street by Maple Leaf Gardens, and the city has closed down the shelter and has put them, they wanted to put them in our building, but I can say with a little advocacy, we're able to stop that suddenly on Sunday night. But just the idea that, because the city, they're moving homeless people both from shelters in the perimeter and people, you know, who have been sweeped, who would normally like maybe like sleep under the gardener or in ravines down there, and they're always worried of those. I mean, I know when, I recall when I did street outreach with a community health center that we used to go down there to give people supplies or harm reduction supplies or just even information where they can receive help. So those people are all being displaced. So, I mean, not only is it traumatic for like us as women thinking that, you know, there's going to be homeless men, and it was homeless men they wanted to put in our building. I mean, put the homeless women in our building.
Right.
But I mean, you know, we need to get everybody into decent, affordable housing. Is really got to be the goal there. But
Yeah.
you know, it must be really difficult for those people too. I mean,
Absolutely.
because I mean, as much as it scares me to have homeless men and get hovering around our building, just because that's not what I moved into, but also how traumatic must this be for people in the system, and
Certainly, yeah.
To be displaced and be open and. It's usually poor people who get, and people on the streets who are usually get caught up in these things, right? Like,
Yeah.
other people like myself have so little privilege, I can move out of the area, right?
Yeah. And I mean, this is all for a 2-day conference, but the effects are going to be much longer than 2 days,
Well,
obviously.
trauma lasts a
Yeah,
long time,
absolutely,
so
yeah.
yes.
And then I also want to ask, say that, you know, a lot of people working in the field of homelessness, that there's a goal to end homelessness. And there is some controversy around that as well. Some people feel differently
There
about
is.
that, absolutely. And so I'm wondering, do you think that it's possible to end homelessness? And is this something that you strive for with the work that you do?
I'm more around, well, I think we go back to the G20 again, and we look at like, you know, we have barricades, we have a gated community. On one side, the next few days, you know, the wealthy people and they're going to be protected by police. I mean, why do we need fences and gates and surveillance equipment, sound cannons and all the pepper spray? So why would there be people so upset that they'd like try to rush the fence? Like, so people must be angry at these people. We have a very, like, it's a fortress. It's been called a fortress,
Yeah.
and there's a lot of police there. They're and you know, I'm not feeling any safer with the police either, actually, for some odd reason. I'm actually feeling that they may be making sure that I look okay walking down the street, and I hope I pass that test. But so under this current system of organizing society where we have some people on one side of the fortress and the rest of us on the other side of the fortress, I think it's the social system of organizing around an economic structure. I can't count or call it a foundation, but organizing society around an economic structure will not end homelessness. We need to be thinking of other ways to organize society. And you know, there's a couple, there's a phrase, you know, there's a phrase some of the people are chanting, and it makes sense. There is a better way. A better world is possible. And so I don't think, you know, if I lived 2,000 years ago, I'd probably be complaining about the feudal system too. So,
right.
But I mean, I think it just really drives home the point over the next few days. If we look at what's going on in our very own neighborhood, and our neighborhood has been turned into a military police state and a fortress, and this is the wrong way to organize society and the wrong way to end homelessness.
Yeah.
And again, let's spend $1 billion on affordable housing.
That's right.
We'll put a little money into we can feed people, and then once we get people into housing, then we can start to feed them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What a concept!
Really. Wow.
Yeah.
And is there anything else maybe you want to share that I didn't ask you about before we end off?
Yeah, I just, you know, I've been working hard on amending human rights codes. You know, I mean, the government says that provincially, and we got passed C-389 June 10th in Ottawa, so to amend the Canadian Human Rights Act to include gender identity and gender expression. The provincial government thinks that we're already included, and we are in some ways, but it's not clear and it's not visible. It doesn't say to landlords or to services or employers it's wrong to discriminate under the grounds, protected grounds of gender identity. So one way to alleviate some of the stress here, I think, is to have clear enumerated human rights protection. And, you know, if just a bit of the energy that we put into the G20 could go into helping get our human rights. You know, I mean, you know, it's human rights, it's symbolic, but it tells young people too, youth, that says, hey, I belong in society. They can see right there that we're included, and I think that's a great way, and that's the way I want to organize our society. That's my preference, rather than law and order agenda, but where we treat people with respect, dignity, and the equality that all others already have.
That's wonderful. What a wonderful note to end on. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. And,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for talking to me.
And you know, I think it's really important that people like you, we need to support the work that you're doing around LGBTQ youth and homelessness. Policymakers can take that work, and we can talk about it, like during election campaigns.
Yeah.
And and it's about working as a team to help, alleviate the discomforts that people suffer from.
Certainly. All right. Thanks a lot, Susan.